1 Corinthians chapter 15 tonight as we continue our study on using our spiritual weapons. Victory is ours. Amen. Victory is ours. And we're going to talk somewhat about that tonight. I'm looking forward to tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God. We're just going to read one verse, pray, and then get into our Bible study. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me read that one more time. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what we're about to learn. Now, meet with us. Teach us the simple truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's review just a little bit. Not going to review much. We've learned that the victory is ours. But God's given you and I some weapons to use. We have three enemies in this world. The world, our own flesh, and the devil. Those are our three enemies. It's never people. People never have been our enemies, never will be our enemies. Sometimes the devil uses people as a bat to beat us with, or a gun to shoot us with, or a knife to stab us with. But the people aren't the enemies, they're just being used by the devil. Boy, back in the Garden of Eden, was it Satan that was the wicked one there, or was it Eve? Or did he use Eve? He just used Eve. Eve wasn't a wicked person. Neither are the people that do things to hurt you and I or Christianity or others. They're not wicked people. They're just people that got used by the devil. Good people can be used by the devil. Wicked people can be used by the devil. As long as we allow Satan a chance to use us, he doesn't have to take us over. He doesn't have to possess us. He can just lead us in such a way that causes us to hurt others. The devil knows your weaknesses and mine. He knows them all. I don't have to explain them to him. He's watched us long enough. He knows. I've been married to my wife 33 years. We've been married for eternity. And my wife knows my weaknesses probably better than I know my weaknesses. And I know her weaknesses. I know exactly what buttons to push to make her go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And just explode with anger. And she knows how to push those buttons with me too. We learn that about people. It doesn't take us long to figure that out. If you have children, your children know how to push those buttons as well. And you know how to push your buttons, your children's buttons sometimes. Why? Because we learn about each other. Not by what we hear, but how we watch. By watching each other. And that's all the devil learns. He's not God. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't see everything. He's not omniscient or omnipotent. He's just like you and me, can only be in one place at one time. And so what he sees, he learns. And he takes what he sees about us and uses that against us. And will give people information about us to hit us in our weakest spots. Those are called fiery darts. So the people aren't the enemy. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. We found out that God has given us 14 weapons in our study to use against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We learned last week that God has given us, asked us to focus on those things He's done. Focus on truth, focus on personal righteousness, focus on prayer, focus on fasting, focus on humility, focus on the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Focus with the shield of faith. Focus on the helmet of salvation. Focus on kindness. Focus on commitment and patience. Focus on the Word of God. Focus on the blood of Christ. And focus on God's people. All of those are weapons that God has given to you and I to beat the world, the flesh, and the devil. And all we have to do is start to apply those by realizing how we can focus on them, stay alert to them, have God guide us in those things. The first thing we learn, though, is that we have to depend on God for the victory. I can't give you the victory. This church can't give you the victory. You can't give you the victory. I can't give myself the victory. The victory is in Jesus Christ. Now tonight, I want to talk to you about our third thing, our third step along the way. Hopefully we get further than that, but I want to talk to you about on this. If we're going to win this battle, we got to be consistent. Steadfast. Consistent. Look in our verse tonight, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it says this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Steadfast means don't back up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. Listen, the devil knows that line you got to last time before you quit. And so he knows when you got there, so he tries to pressure you to get to that same point and quit again. He thinks that's where you're going to give up. He thinks that's where you're going to quit. So what I want to do is I want to fool him. I want to trick him. Actually, what I want to do is beat him. I hate the devil. I hate everything about the devil. I wish I could take the devil and oh, if I could get in a fist fight, I'd knock him out. I'd knock his teeth out. I'd knock the horn over his head. I'd take that tail and I'd tie it and I'd kick him as hard as I could. I'd smack him as hard. I hate everything that has to do with the devil. I can't stand it. But I can't do that. I don't have the ability to beat him in that way. And so I do have a way to beat him. That way to beat him is be consistent. Keep on going and go past that point he didn't think I could get past. And when I do that, boom, that's like knocking the wind right out of him. You don't have to be a big person to knock a big person. You don't have to be a big person to knock a big person down. You just got to hit him in the solar plexus. In the stomach right there where it knocks the air right out of him. When you do that, the guy becomes, and he goes down. Because you caught him where he was unprepared. Where he has no defense. And the devil doesn't have any defense when you pass that point. So be steadfast. Continually going forward. Notice what it says in the verse here. Be steadfast. Unmovable. Don't let him kick you backwards. Always abounding. Get past that point. Get past that point. Go further. In the work of the Lord. It's not in my work. It's not asking God to bless the work I'm trying to do. It's God using us and flowing through us to do His work. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain, because we know it's not in vain, in the Lord. But when I do it in my own power, He beats the tar out of me. Man, He's always knocking me down. I'm always falling short. He knows where that line is. Not only oftentimes, I don't even make it to that line when I'm trying to do it in my own strength. Because I can't do it. I have to depend on Him. So be consistent. Be steadfast. In other words, pray till the answer comes, because the greatest weapon that you and I have is the power of prayer. The devil can't beat God. He can't beat Him. He doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the strength. He doesn't have the knowledge. He doesn't have the understanding. All he can do is fail. Fail. My power is to reach to Him in prayer. He said, I said it tonight while I was praying. Jeremiah 33:3. Call under me and I will answer. That's a promise. I heard a promise once before. It went like this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I called upon the name of the Lord. You know what He did? He saved me. That's a promise. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. You know what that is? That's a promise. Same kind of promise as salvation's a promise. Did you know all the promises are yea? That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In other words, yes. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. You need something. I promise it. Yes, there's the answer. Yes, there's your answer. Yes, you can have that. Yes, that's the answer. But you just got to come to me and take my promise. See, the answer is yes. But wouldn't it be great if every time you went to your mom and dad, the question was given, and Damien said to his mom, can I? And she says, yes. Says her, you can, says the dad, yeah, can I? And the answer is yes. Wouldn't it be wonderful to always get yeses? Well, God said, who's our Heavenly Father, yeah. All I got to do is come to me with my promises. And the answer is always yes. He will answer us. Stay in the battle. No matter what it takes, God will answer your prayer. Luke chapter 18. Turn there if you would please, real quick. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. I give you so much Bible because I want you to depend on what God says. Don't trust me. I'm a man. Men lie. But you know who never tells a lie? God doesn't. I can always trust Him. So we want to look in His Word again. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. I'll start reading as you continue to look for it. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint. Verse 2. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet this widow troubleth me. I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge thee, his own elect, which crieth day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. God is not going to wait. Nevertheless, the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now that wasn't talking about when Jesus comes and dies on the cross. That's talking about when he returns. It takes faith for us to trust him. Faith means trusting God, not trusting ourselves. Letting him do it, not us say, Lord, bless this and take control of the situation. Let him do it all. That's what this is talking about. So just like the lady, here's what happened. She kept going to, judge, avenge me. Just leave me alone. Judge, avenge me. Just leave me alone. Oh, I could see her. She'd go to his courtroom every day. Oh, judge, avenge me. Would somebody take her out? I could see her standing back by the judge's door as he comes out to go to his chambers out of the courtroom. Judge, you got to avenge me. My enemies are trying to consume me. Leave me alone, lady. I can see as she waits by the back door of his chambers as he goes out to get in his chariot to go home, you know, because it wasn't a car back then. And so go back, maybe get on his horse or maybe walk to his house. The whole time she's going, judge, avenge me! Judge, avenge me! Judge, avenge me! Every place he goes, he hears, judge, avenge me! Help me, judge, help me! And the judge says, this is driving me nuts. Lest she weary me. I'm going to do this because she's driving me crazy. She's making me nuts. I'm just going to take care of her. God says we don't even have to do that kind of prayer. No, we got to be consistent in prayer. And we got to take it to him in faith. And he says he'll take care of it for us. So pray, 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 pray. What is it that you are facing today that you've got to have an answer from God? Just keep on going to him and keep on going to him. And it's not just little things. Remember, we got the world, the flesh, and the devil that we're trying to fight. So in every way, hey, my flesh sometimes gets out of control. I've got to go to God and ask him to get it back under control. I've got to help him get the world back under control in my life. I've got to keep the devil away from me. So when temptation comes, and he brings temptation because he knows my weaknesses, I must go to him. I can have the victory. I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13, who strengtheneth me. I can do all those things. Why? Because he's given me the victory. So stay faithful to him. He assures us that he'll do that. You know what that is? Commitment on his part. So if he's going to be committed on our part, should we not be committed on our part? If he's going to do what he says he's going to do, then should we not have some loyalty to him? Commitment means this. The act of committing or a charge of trust. In other words, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I trust you with it. Just like you take your money to the bank and you expect it to be there when you want to go get it. I don't expect my bank to close. Banks close. Lots of banks have closed over the last few years. Our economy isn't what it should be. I don't expect my bank to close, and you probably don't expect your bank to close. I have had banks that we banked at close. But they always manage to get me my money before they close. I don't like it. I don't expect it. But I still give the money to a bank. I still have trust. How come when we give in God something and we didn't like his answer, we quit trusting him? That's a good question, isn't it? How come when God said to us, wait, instead of saying yes, because it wasn't a promise, it was something we preferred, we got mad at God when he said, it's not time yet? Good question, isn't it? Commitment. That means staying loyal to him no matter what's going on around us. The devil may be pouncing on you. The world may be hitting you with everything it can hit you with. And your flesh may be so weak it doesn't know where to go. And you feel totally overwhelmed. Trust in the Lord with all thy strength. And he will lift you up. Trust in the Lord. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Commitment also means an agreement or pledge to do something in the future. Has He not already agreed to save us? So since He's already agreed to do that, has He agreed to answer our prayers? So then let's do it. Let's just keep doing it. Let's just keep doing it. He's committed Himself to us, so let's commit ourselves to Him and not let the world, the flesh, and the devil stop our relationship with Him. I've been married now for over 32 years. Almost 33 years, right? I got it right this time. We have a commitment going here, you know? It's a two-way street. We're committed to each other. Now, there's times that she's wanted to commit me. There's times I've probably wanted to commit her. There's times we've had disagreements and hard times. Life isn't a bed of roses for anyone all the time. It's a fight. But we have a commitment. It's a two-way commitment. We are committed to each other. It's hard sometimes. But listen, I'm so old now, I couldn't go out looking if I wanted to. First of all, I don't think anybody else have me. She's already put up with me for all these years. Why would she want to retrain somebody else? We've been married all these years. I depend on her. In a lot of ways, she depends on me. It's a two-way street. It doesn't happen overnight. That commitment has built over 32 and a half, almost three-quarter years. It's taken time. We've had punches in the guts on both sides. We've gone through personal disappointments and heartbreaks. That's what commitment's about. Take that relationship idea and take it between you and God. Sometimes things don't go like we should think they should between us and God. Amen? Sometimes we disappoint Him. Sometimes I've disappointed my wife probably more than she's ever disappointed me. Sometimes I haven't been a very good husband. Sometimes I've lacked in many ways. But the commitment's still there. It's not because it's all emotion. Oh, I just feel love all the time. That's how many people think it is. But that isn't it. And it's not because I feel God's love all the time. Oh, I'm saved and I just feel God's love all the time. I don't. I'm not going to lie to you. There's days I wonder why in the world He ever saved me. There's days I wonder if He really did save me. There's times that I've gotten upset with God. And there's got to be many, many times He's been upset with me. But you know what? He's still there. I'm still there. We're still working together. He still forgives me. I don't ever have to forgive Him. But He still forgives me. He still takes care of me. He still aids me. He still strengthens me. He still hears my prayer. He hears my call. Sometimes my wife and I have had arguments. One will call the other and we won't answer. Because we're mad. Amen? We're normal, aren't we? Uh-huh. Yeah. And sometimes I call God and you know what? He always answers. But sometimes He calls me and I don't answer because I'm mad. But He's always answering the phone. It's amazing how little things I bring to Him that He answers. Little petty things I bring to Him. And He cares because He's committed to us. So keep on praying that He gets your prayers answered. He wants you to make it. Remember, we're the clay though, and He's the potter, and He's going to shape us the way we need us. So let Him do the shaping. Let Him do the guiding. Let Him do the strengthening. Let Him take care of the way. All we got to do is let Him be God. As we allow Him to change us and our lives in the way that He sees fit. So we need to stay focused on the things that God has done for you and me and the things that He's going to continue to do for you and me. So, let's move on then. Now that I'm lost. Keep fighting then until the foe is defeated. Luke chapter 11 verse 9 says this, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The writing here in Luke chapter 11, verse number 9, ask and it shall be given you. That's a promise. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's written. The word ask is written in the linear. The word seek is written in the linear. The word knock is written in linear. So here's what he's saying. Ask and 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 ask. And keep on asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. And don't give up asking and asking until you get what you need. Keep on seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking. And keep seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking until you find what he wants for you. Because it's there. And keep on knocking. Lord, I'm not going to go away just like that lady. Judge, I'm not going away. I'm going to knock and I'm going to knock and I'm going to knock and I'm going to knock until you answer. And he will answer. He promised he would. So keep on praying. Keep doing that till the victory comes. Number four. Keep fighting. It builds your strength. Keep on fighting. It builds your strength. Paul fought before he was saved and it didn't help him. He fought off God, but it didn't work. He got convicted and got saved. And then after he was saved, he fought all sorts of battles constantly. And every victory gave him more power to get to the next victory. And every victory gave him more power to get to the next victory. And just like it comes for weightlifting. Now, as you can see, this mighty body that stands before you tonight. The great body that lifts so much weight. Yeah, I know you're giggling because this body couldn't lift. Anyway, I'm not a bodybuilder, okay? But I am strong and I can do some things. My wife says use that deodorant because you are strong, sweetheart. You're really, really strong. So, but the truth is that my strength gets built up over time. So does yours. As you work out, you get another victory and then you get another. I remember working out in high school when I was a boy. Our high school had the first weight machine that you could use rather than weights. So it was a big machine. You could put it in, you know, that. They're real popular now, but they weren't then. And boy, I used to work out and I tried. I mean, I was 108 pounds in high school.
Senior in high school, football player, you know, and
I worked out every day. I always wanted to have a washboard stomach. Everybody keeps telling me it's in there somewhere. I have never found it. Never have. I've worked out. I can lift some heavy weights. I had the strongest legs on my football team. At 108 pounds, I had the strongest. I was the fastest boy on the team. Man, I was something to behold. Oh, 108 pounds. Playing middle linebacker on a high school football team. And doing well. And the truth is that you couldn't tell I lifted anything. But I had a strength that you couldn't see. You don't have to have a strength that everybody can see to be strong in the Lord. It's just those little victories that continually come your way that build up your spiritual muscles. Every time God answers a prayer, write it down. And then when you have any doubts or fears, and when you're praying and you don't know what's going on, go back and look. And see what God has done for you. It's called a prayer journal. A prayer journal will help you see those milestones. And then those bigger answers to prayer. And those bigger answers to prayer. And it builds your strength. Over and over again you see in Scripture people that are that way. You remember David? David slew Goliath. But David didn't start with Goliath. He started with a lion. And he beat the lion. And then came a big old growling bear. And he beat the bear. As he kept the sheep. With those two victories underneath his belt and knowing that he was able to protect those sheep that God had given him and his dad had entrusted to him. When he saw that big old ugly giant Goliath, he said, I can whip him too, the same way I whipped the lion, the same way I whipped the bear. It wasn't in my strength, it was in God's strength and I know that. So in God's strength, that big old giant ain't nothing. What are you all afraid of? No, there's the big old giant. But to him it wasn't a giant because he had built his strength spiritually, knowing that God will give the victory. And that's how we need to be. So let your strength be built. Fight against Satan by resisting him. James chapter 4 verse 7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. He runs away. Why? Because I'm resisting him. I'm not resisting him in my own power. I'm not resisting him in my own strength. I'm resisting him because I'm running to God and he's afraid of God. So let God give you the victory. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a promise. Fight against sin and temptation. Fight against it. Surrender it to Christ. Let him give you the victory in your life of those temptations that have consumed us so many other times. Every time they come around, you get a victory over it. That's just one more victory that you can add. I am not the same man I was when I got saved. I've grown. It's taken 35 years, almost 36 years, for me to get where I'm at right now. God doesn't expect you, and I don't expect you, and you shouldn't expect you to be where I am right now in your Christian life. Look how many years it's taken me. But can I tell you, I keep looking back at the victories, and I keep looking back at the victories, and I keep looking back in the victories. And I know this, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He's done in the past, He'll do today. That's one of the benefits of reading your Bible over and over again. What God has done for others in the past, He'll do for you today. He'll do for me today. So if He could deliver the Israelites after being as wicked as they were, He'll deliver you and me after us being as wicked as we are. No matter what we've done, He is there when we turn to Him. Don't let anybody, the devil, the world, the flesh, or anybody take that away from you. He loves you. Don't forget that. So keep the victory. The victory is yours already. Hey, how about this? Fight joyfully. Fight joyfully. What do you mean by that? Nehemiah chapter 8 says that in chapter 8 verse 10 says this. And he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portion unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. There's all sorts of things that we sing to our kids, and we sing, there's all sorts of verses you can add to that, but the truth is that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So fight joyfully. Hey, I got the victory! I already won! The joy is mine! You get excited when a ball game, you know, when a ball team wins? I do. Every time the Cleveland Indians pull off a win, regardless of where they're at in the standings, I still find it miraculous. I go, yoo-hoo! Alright! That's my team! If the Cleveland Browns ever win another football game, and it is debatable whether or not that'll ever happen. They may. You never know. But I'll tell you what. If the Cleveland Browns ever win another football game, you know what I'm going to do? Woohoo! Yeah! That's my team! No matter how bad they are, they're always your team when they win. When they're bad, you go, they're just terrible now. But the truth is that joyful, amen? I already got the victory, so let's be joyful in that victory because the joy of the Lord is my strength. That is what's going to deliver me. That's what's going to deliver you. How about this? Don't get bitter or vengeful as you're going through the battle. Don't get bitter or vengeful. People are going to be used against you. Remember, it's not the people. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. People are never our enemy, and so we get bitter about people. We get vengeful. We want to get even. We want to get back at them. But the truth is that they most of the time they don't even know that they caused you trouble. So why worry about that? Don't let vengeance, don't let bitterness get into there. While we're in the fight, just give it over to the Lord. How about this? Praise Him in the battle. And then we'll stop after we talk about the praising. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses. I'm just going to read them real fast. By the tape. Psalm 7 verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. I will sing praise unto the name of the Most High. Psalm 22:26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. Psalm 33:2. Praise the Lord with the heart. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and the instruments of 10 strings. Psalm 102 verse 18. And it shall be written for generations to come. The people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Psalm 107 verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works unto the children of men. What a wonderful verse that is. Psalm 115 verse 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 117:1. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. Psalm 135 verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 150 verse 6. Let everything that has breath Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hey, did you get an impression about something? We're supposed to praise the Lord. So how we're going through this battle, what are we going to do? We could sit around and get the, I just don't know what to do. Or we can just start praising God. Praise the Lord, we're going through this battle. Look at all the little answers. Look at this opportunity for Him to do a miraculous thing. Oh, hey, listen, there's all sorts of things we can praise God for. We just got to refocus our vision. Refocus our thoughts. Don't let the devil have your mind. Put on that helmet of salvation. That's to protect your mind. Remember, God loves you. He cares for you. And because He loves you and He cares for you, He's going to help you. Listen, I don't want my children to have to go through hard times. Sometimes they have to. But I want to be there for them all the way along. My God loves me. And the older I get, the younger I'm supposed to become to Him. What do you mean by that, preacher? Let me illustrate and I'm done. Okay? For tonight. When we age, when we're born on this earth, I'm a baby. As an infant, I can do nothing for myself. I can't eat for myself. I cannot change myself. I cannot bathe myself. I cannot speak for myself. I can't do anything. I'm fully and completely, wholly dependent on others. As I start to grow up, as I start to get older, I start to become independent. I start to get more on my own. I go from being an infant to a toddler. And what do? I start to crawl. And then I go from crawling to scooting. And I go from scooting to walking and tripping and going back down to crawling again. And then I get back and I start to learn to run. And before you know it, I'm in my terrible twos and I'm starting to go for my independence. I start to feed myself now. I might be able to start dressing myself and maybe even potty train during those years of number two. And then on years of number three, I start to want to play, but I still need mommy. I still need daddy. I still can't provide for myself. I still got to have their guidance. I still can't get in the car and drive, even though my son at 3 years old tried to drive a van and drove it off a cliff. Wrecking the van but still can't drive. I still can't get along. I'm not as dependent as I was, but I'm more independent. And then as I start to go and I get older, I'm still a 6 year old can't take care of themselves still. They've got to have somebody watch over them, got to help them. 10 year old still needs their parents. You get to the age of 18, you don't think you need anybody, but you still need your folks, which you just don't think you do. Then you get into your 20s and realize, I still need my parents. They're not as dumb as I thought they were. And then we get into our 30s, and they're getting older now, and we realize how much we really love them and care about them. My parents passed away when I was 36 and 38, and I miss them now. I wish I could be with them. It's just how life goes. By the time I got to be an adult, I almost didn't depend on him at all. In my 20s, I realized I wasn't depending on my dad enough, my mom enough, because I was totally independent at that time. And so I would call my dad, even though if I made a decision, and I'd talk about him about the decision, and I'd allow him to give me enough information that maybe I should change my decision on some things I made in life. Because I needed more input than just my own. He had a lot more wisdom than what I realized he had had. And so I needed to tap into that now a little bit. But that's not how we're supposed to grow older with the Lord. When we get saved, we've been totally independent from God. Just like an adult. And as I grow in grace and faith, I'm supposed to grow backwards. To becoming more dependent on Him. So I'm supposed to go from being this independent person who doesn't need any help from anybody. And start to grow more dependent on the Lord. And the more I grow in the grace and knowledge of His truth, the younger I become. And that I need Him for more. And then I need Him for more. And then I need Him for more. And can I tell you the perfect place to be with the Lord is to be like an infant. To be like that 1 year old, that 6 month old, that 8 month old, that 18 month old. I can get somewhere, but I still need Him for everything. You know the most precious time in the life of a parent? When the children were little. It's not their teenage years we always think about. It's when they were little and they depended on us. We as parents yearn for that dependence, don't we? And that's the way it is with God. He yearns for our dependence on Him. That's what this is all about. The devil wants to keep you independent. The world says, why do you need to trust in God? The flesh says, I can do it! But our spirit says, Lord, I need you. And He's the one that'll give you and I the victory in the battles of life that you and I face. Father, I thank you for what we've learned today.